There's no greater blessing in the world than to be a Christian. One morning before church services, a mother wanted to teach her young daughter a lesson. So she came to her and she said, "I'm going to give you a dollar and a quarter. And I want you to give what you think is best to the Lord this morning." Well, after services were over, the mother decided to see how it went, and she asked the daughter, "Well, what did you give this morning?" She said, "Mom, I was just prepared to give the dollar. And then the man in the pulpit said that we're supposed to be cheerful givers. And so I decided to give the quarter because I knew it would make me happier." I remember my sister telling me about our niece on a Sunday morning. She'd given her a quarter and a dime. She was ready and prepared to hear that double clink in the tray when it was passed, but she just heard one clink, and she saw my sister just slowly slipping that quarter backwards, trying to hold on to something. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to give. It's a learned thing, isn't it? It's something that we need to understand that God wants us to do, but it's something that we have to understand that God has done for us first. Just like 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. And certainly we give back to God because He has given us everything. Even as children, we're taught little songs to try to prepare us for this spiritual growth. I remember one when I was just really young. Love is something if you give it away. Give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away. You'll end up having more. Love is like a lucky penny. Hold it tight, and you won't have any. But give it away, and you'll have plenty. You'll end up having more. These little songs that the children learn, if you don't think that they have an impact on their lives, they do. I know I haven't sung that song probably in 30 years. Give, and it will be given to you, Jesus said. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be given back to you. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. You know, yesterday was a great day for Graymere. It was a great day for Columbia, Tennessee. I'd like to think this morning, imagine with you, about how great our lives could be as Christians and how much we could change the world if every day was a giveaway day. After yesterday, those of you that participated in this, how did you feel? Did you feel humble, recognizing the great blessings that you already have? Thankful? Joyful, perhaps, seeing that something that you were able to do blessed the life of another? If we really look at our Christian lives, we should recognize that giveaway day is every day. And so I want to think about three points that will remind you who you're supposed to be as a child of God. And what will happen to your life when giveaway day becomes every day? When giveaway day is every day, you first give yourself. You give yourself. True giving begins with giving ourselves. And we should recognize that giving is not just a one-time experience. Just like when we repent before we're baptized, repentance is a one-time experience. It's a continual experience that we understand as we grow in our Christian lives and we try to get closer to God. But we have to give ourselves first before we can do anything else. In fact, Jesus said this was what true discipleship was all about. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, He said to His disciples, "If any man comes after Me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" In Acts chapter 11, verse 29, we read of a decision that the disciples made early on in the church to bless other brethren. It says they decided to bring relief to the brethren at Judea. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul's writing to the Corinthian church about this very effort. And he's using an example of the Macedonian congregations, the people in that area that were willing to freely give even though they didn't have much to offer. And there's a great statement made about them where he says, in their deep poverty, it abounded in the riches of their liberality. And about these folks, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. What a great statement to make about someone else, that they are fully surrendering to God. And the man who fully gives himself to the Lord automatically then gives the rest of himself. So you have to give yourself first. And what giving yourself means is investing your life in the lives of other people. As a human being, that's the greatest thing that you can do. Over the last few years, I've had the privilege of becoming a soccer coach. Do we have any soccer coaches out there or baseball coaches? You know, our kids got to the point where they wanted to start playing some sports, and I promised that I would spend the time to at least coach each one of them as they went through their sporting life. And here's the way I pick a soccer team. This is the way I did it last time. I found out all the kids that worship with us, and I drafted them first, because I'm trying to build a relationship with our young people in the church. And then after that, I honestly look, and on these papers, I'm a competitive person. On these papers, it would show you the age and the shirt size. So I would take the oldest one with the biggest shirt. You know, I thought that might help us a little bit. But providentially, a young man named CJ was on my team this year. CJ's father is in jail. His relationship with his family is very difficult. He has several disorders that he's dealing with. He has anger problems. And he was even more competitive than me. And sometimes when we would lose, he would just absolutely fall apart. And there were times where I had to just grab him and pick him up and hug him and calm him down and say, CJ, it doesn't matter. We're having a good time. We're doing the best that we can. CJ, I love you. It's going to be fine. And he would calm down. But he needed someone to invest in his life. He needed someone to care. You'll never regret doing that, investing yourself in the lives of others. We went to Dairy Queen after the last game. CJ comes up to me as we're leaving and he says, you know, I'm sure I'm going to miss this team. He says, I'm going to miss everybody. But he said, I'm going to miss you the most, coach. And he came up and he gave me a hug. That's what it means to give of yourself. And that is what it means when love is something, when you give it away, you end up having more. When giveaway day is every day, you give yourself. When giveaway day is every day, you just give what you have. It says about Moses in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3 that the man Moses was a very humble man, more than all the men on the face of the earth. What a statement about Moses, the most humble man on the earth. But sometimes humility can be a crutch to us when we don't have enough confidence that what we have is worthwhile. And as God appears to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and 4 in the burning bush out at Mount Horeb as he was taking care of his father's flocks, Jethro, you remember God said, I want you, Moses. I want you to be the one who leads my children out of slavery. But Moses doesn't feel worthy of it. He comes up with several statements. Who am I? He says. The Lord's answer to that is, well, Moses, I'm going to be with you. Well, what is his name? Who shall I say is sending me? He says, I am, has sent you. And thirdly, he says, well, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe me? And in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2, God asked Moses this question. He said, Moses, what's that in your hand? Moses says, a rod. Nothing special, just a rod, a shepherd's rod, nothing that would be anything more significant than anything else anybody had at that particular point in time. Just a rod. He says, cast it on the ground. It becomes a serpent. Moses runs away from it. He says, stretch out your hand and take it again. And Moses did. And it became a rod again in his hand. And then Moses began to understand that the power was not in himself. It was not in the rod, but the power was in God. so giving what we have, no matter what it is a lot more than many times we think. In fact, later on in Moses' life, in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 9, he says to Joshua as they're getting ready to fight the Amalekites, he says, "Joshua, you gather some men together to fight against Amalek, and I am going to stand at the top of the hill, and I'm going to take the rod of God in my hand." You know what the rod of God was? It was the same rod that God said, "What's in your hand, Moses?" Just a rod. But Moses' thinking had changed because he realized that what he had could be used by the power of God to do His will. Jesus didn't say that we had to have great things to be children of God. He simply said that we need to let go of whatever it is we do have so that He can turn into something better. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 33, He says, "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys." The only distinction between the five-talent man and the two-talent man and the one-talent man was really obedience. God only asks us to do what we can with what we have. And what we have is often better than what people are actually seeking. There's also a reminder of Acts chapter 3. You remember in Acts chapter 3 where Peter and John had gone to the temple at about 3 in the afternoon, the ninth hour, and they were going there for the hour of prayer. And there was a man there that they would sit at the gate, lame from his mother's womb. He would beg for alms so he could sustain himself. And as he was there, he saw Peter and John, and he looked up, hoping to receive some gift of money from them. But Peter cast his eyes upon this lame beggar, and he says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." The man wanted money, but instead he got something better. And many times what we're seeking for, what we're thinking is better, is not as good as what God is about to provide for us. Many times in life we look for one thing that we think that will help us, and we realize later that God has something better in store. And I believe the same thing can be said for what we have to give. You might not think it's that powerful. You might not think it's that good. But don't ever underestimate the value of a kind word, a hug, a card, a word fitly spoken, a smile, your presence in the life of someone else, your friendship, and your support. When giveaway is every day, you just give what you have. Thirdly, if giveaway day was every day in your life, you would see the necessity of giving the very best you had to give. We have a God who is the giver of all good things. He gives us the very best. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 11, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For he who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him?" We know how to give gifts, right? Our children are counting on it in about 6 weeks. We know how to give good gifts. But God knows how to give great gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. James chapter 1 and verse 17. And in the Old Testament, in response to the great blessings of God, God also asked for the best. "Give the first fruits of the harvest. Give the unspotted, the lamb without blemish, back to me." A good summary statement of the Old Testament is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. For what God wants us to do in return: honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. When giveaway day is every day, you give your very best. You know what's the greatest thing that you can do as a Christian? Maybe the greatest thing that you can understand is that the best you have to offer is Jesus Christ. And when I think about the need for evangelism, for other people who do not know God to receive God, it's very easy for me to get out there and do something about it because I know what I have. And so if I'm in the grocery store, or if I'm going into a place of business, if I'm going down to where my children go to school, or anybody that I meet, when I know that they don't have what they need, the most important discovery that they need to make is still on the horizon, and I may be the person that can give it to them. And it makes me excited. It's like having this gold nugget, having this information that's in some ways almost a secret, that's the greatest news they could ever find out, and you get to be the one to deliver it to them. And so I can't help but say something. How can we not give them that kind of information? Half of evangelism is just knowing what people need and what people cannot do without. And if you're a Christian, you know that, don't you? And you give them the very best that can be given. You give them the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we reflect upon these three thoughts, I want you for a moment to think about the life of Jesus Christ. From the very beginning of time, and especially during His earthly ministry, for Jesus, giveaway day was every day. He gave Himself. In Hebrews chapter 9, as the Hebrew writer is describing the relationship of the Old Testament to the New Testament, the tabernacle to a better and more excellent type of worship, the high priest to our one and only high priest, Jesus Christ, the foreshadowing of those things that were inferior to the things that are now superior and better in the new covenant. He says in Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 23, "Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to suffer since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Jesus gave himself. And in giving himself, he took care of the problems of our lives. It doesn't mean that we won't continue to struggle. It doesn't mean that we won't continue to sin. But he had a solution for it. He had a more excellent way, an understanding of God's purpose for our lives. He gave us hope on the other side of the cross. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." He was the only sufficient sacrifice for sin. He put it away by giving himself. While Jesus was on the earth, giveaway day was every day because he gave what he had. Have you ever thought of what Jesus had to give? Have you ever really considered it? Jesus had something very special to give, because his blood was different than any blood that was ever shed from the time life came into existence. It was sinless blood. It was impossible, the Hebrew writer said, that the blood of goats and calves could ever take away sin. Hebrews 10 and verse 4. And so in verse 11 through 14 of Hebrews chapter 9, more is explained about the pureness of this blood. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling of the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? One of the great questions of the Bible and of religion for years has been, why did God become flesh? Why did deity ever become incarnate? I think there's a pretty simple answer to that question. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it discusses some of the attributes of Jesus Christ, the one who is to come back again in the day of judgment. In verse 15, it says that he is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And then in verse 16, it describes him this way, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and glory and everlasting power. Amen. What is God? How do we define God? What are some of the attributes of God? He alone has immortality. God cannot experience death. And so the answer to that question is, why did Jesus come to this earth? Why did God take on a human body? It's really very simple. One thing, so that he could die. So he could die. Die for us. Give what he had, and what he had was very special. The eternal word became flesh so that he could die. The immortal took on humanity so humanity could take on immortality. He gave what he had. Human blood. When giveaway day was every day as Jesus was on the earth, he also gave the best gift he could give. In John chapter 10, we read Jesus talking about being the door and the good shepherd. But he says that what he came to give was life, and that it was more abundant life. Now, if I was going to poll the men that are Christians and have been Christians for some time in this audience and ask them what are the three greatest blessings of their life, hopefully it would be this order. Number one, being a Christian, the day that I obeyed the gospel. Number two, the day that I got married. I'm giving you a chance to look good here. The day that I got married. And thirdly, the birth of our children. Now think about these things. This is abundant life. What makes you more excited about life than the birth of children? What makes you more excited about life and living life than to have companionship in your spouse and friendship and someone to experience things with, someone to love, to give and share love with? And what makes you more excited about life than being a Christian and living the way that God wants you to live and having the hope of heaven? This is what Jesus came to give. This was the best he could give. Abundant life. And you cannot get that anywhere else in this world. And you certainly can't get it for eternity without Christ. And so he said in verse 10 of John chapter 10, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In verse 11 he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In verse 15 he says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In verses 17 and 18, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus also said in John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. When Jesus came to this earth, giveaway day was every day because he gave his best. Sitting majestically on the top of the highest hill in Toledo, Spain, is a 16th century fortress known as the Alcazar. And in the 1930s, there was a civil war in Spain between the loyalist and the nationalists. And the nationalists held this fortress, the Alcazar. It was in their possession. But one day, the one who was ruling over the nationalists received a phone call in his office in the Alcazar. And it was from his son. His son had been captured by the loyalists. And the loyalists had made this ultimatum that they would either surrender the Alcazar, that his father would surrender the Alcazar to the loyalists, or that his son would have to die. And so the ruler thought, and he contemplated, and with a long pause, and with a heavy heart, he said to his son on the other line, "Then die like a man. Then die like a man." He made a decision, didn't he? To save his people and to offer his son. And we look at God this morning and we recognize his love for us. We know it's because he wanted the world to be victorious. That God gave his only begotten son. He allowed him to lose so that we could win. The Son of God, the ruler of the universe, the one who was involved in every creative act that we have ever known, came to this earth and he died like a man. And friends, hasn't it made all the difference? If every day were giveaway day, you know it can be. Your life can be what it needs to be. Your life can be an offering to the God who has given so much for you. And we have so much motivation. And we have so much joy. And we have so much hope. And there's so much thanksgiving in all the things that God has done for us. We could change our lives. We could change the world if we made it every day. Why not start today? Why not give your life to God today? The Bible tells us that if we are willing to listen to the Word of God, and if we believe that Word, if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if we're willing to repent of our sins, confess His name before men, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, that God will add us to the kingdom. He'll see us as one of the saved. We'll be one of His children. Our sins will be washed away. Heaven can be our hope. And then we can live to give. We can live our lives for the one who died for us. And perhaps it can be said about us, that not only as they had hoped, but first we gave ourselves to the Lord and then to others by the will of God. Make giveaway day every day in your life and start today. If you need to come forward for any reason, won't you come while together we stand and sing.